Along with announcements made, I want each of you to know how much I appreciate your presence this morning and the opportunity we have to come together to worship the God of heaven. If you're visiting with us and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we're delighted to have you in our study. I encourage you to take your Bible and study with us. If you find I've taught something wrong, I stand to be corrected. If you'll show me the error in my way, I'll make the proper correction. In a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that's been suggested. If you've never put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready where you can be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins and be added to the family of God and enjoy every spiritual blessing as a child of God. Or if you need to be restored to Christ, well, as we stand and sing, we pray that you would make your life right this very morning. If you take your New Testament and turn with me to the Revelation letter and the third chapter, I want to read two verses to get the thought for our study. And if you will, look kindly at Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. For I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. When you think of a sin that makes God sick, it indeed must be some terrible act. No doubt you would expect to find that sin committed by some person who's never known the Lord, some ungodly individual. And you might think they commit the sin of murder or theft or some other ungodly act. However, to the surprise of many, the sin that makes God sick is directed to a local church of Christ. This letter is directed to the church at Laodicea, and there's not one thing good said about this local church. But the key is the sin that makes God sick. Sick enough that he said, I will spew thee, or I will vomit thee out of my mouth. He said, you are like lukewarm water. The Laodiceans would understand that. They got their water source through aqueducts, and by the time the water got to them, it would be lukewarm. And thus Jesus is saying that you make me sick. You are like a lukewarm water. And Jesus said, I would rather you be hot or cold. But I want you to recognize what is wrong with this church is the sin of lukewarmness. Now let's notice what is not the problem. It was not that they were atheists by any means. They believed in God. That was not the issue at Laodicea. These were people that believed in the God of heaven. It was not that they had denied the Word of God. They believed in the Word of God. And it was not that they were of any immoral state at this particular time. They weren't engaged in some gross immoral activity that we read about. And it was not that they were not worshipers of God. They worshiped the God of heaven. And we do not find anywhere where they were not scripturally organized. Nor do we find that they were not scriptural in their order of work. So what is the problem? What is the problem with the church at Laodicea that Jesus said, you make me sick, you make me want to vomit you out of my mouth? Well, first of all, no, they were not atheists, but neither were they earnest believers of the Lord. Secondly, they were not opposed to the Word of God, but neither would they defend it. So what you find are individuals who did not earnestly follow the Lord. They did not put God first and fully devote themselves to the God of heaven. They were straddlers, if you will, flabby. A better word for it would be half-hearted. And Jesus said, your half-heartedness, your lukewarmness, your indifference and apathy make me sick. And he said, any attitude is better than this. I would rather you be cold because your very coldness may drive you to the fire. But because you're lukewarm, you're comfortable, and in your comfortableness, you do not worship and follow me as you should. Now that raises a second thought in our study. And that is, why would Jesus hate this sin so much? We need to stop for a moment and just ask the question, why does this sin make Jesus sick? And that is a very important question. First of all, this sin makes Jesus sick because it's hard to reach people when they're indifferent. A church made up of this type of hearts are the hardest for the gospel to touch. It's hard to hit the target. It is hard for a preacher today to preach to a group if they are indifferent and half-hearted and lukewarm to the Word of God. Secondly, it's a death blow to our usefulness. If we're half-hearted, we're not very useful in the kingdom. First of all, we're useless in regard to seeing the value of a soul because we do not focus upon the soul or the spiritual aspect. We do not even consider our own soul as we should when we are just going through the motions. You know, there are many people that come through the door and I believe that they sit down, they believe in God, and they do not deny the Word of God, but they just go through the motion. They don't put their heart in the worship of God. Next, have you ever thought about it is a hurtful thing towards reaching lost souls? When we do not have a kind of heart that is on fire for God, we will not tell others about Jesus and the plan of salvation and His willingness to die for our sins. And I'll tell you, it's a death blow to our usefulness when we're not willing to tell others about Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. But thirdly, it hurts towards the church and its work. You know, there are many people that think, well, as long as I come one time or maybe two times or perhaps even three times, as long as I put in my appearance, then I don't have to do anything. And it's sad that in some local churches, you have to beg people to teach class or to take an active part. And I'll tell you, my friend, that's a death blow to the usefulness of a local church. But I'll tell you something else. It hurts because people don't think about heaven and hell. They don't think about life beyond the grave and where they will spend eternity. And thus, my friend, when we look at the people who are indifferent, my friend, it can be a death blow to our usefulness. But thirdly, it makes Jesus sick because it grossly misrepresents Him. You know, the heart of our Lord was full of fire. He was on the go, discussing the Word, meeting the opposition, always taking a firm stand. You never saw the Lord indifferent, half-hearted, or lukewarm in regard to religion. And neither is such taught in His Word. The people that are lukewarm grossly misrepresent the religion of our Lord to the people. This makes Him sick because this makes it look like we are unconcerned. It makes us look like God is not first in our life. And it looks like we're trying to keep one foot in the world and one foot with God. And He said, you cannot serve both God and mammon. But that brings up something else. Have you ever thought about what's the cure for this sick condition? Just exactly what would cure an individual and a local church from being lukewarm? Just exactly what would help us overcome lukewarmness and half-heartedness? First, open your Bible back to Revelation chapter 3. And look at what He says in verses 17 and 18. He said, because you say I'm rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. Notice what He said. You say one thing, and you do not know how you truly are. You say, I'm rich and wealthy and have need of nothing. And He said, you really need to see yourself for what you are. Wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You know, my friend, at this particular time, they thought they did not need God, but in reality, they were poor in the sight of God. And God rebukes them. God says to them, you need to see yourself for who you really are. And you know, that's hard to do sometimes. Sometimes when I look at myself, I need to just ask the self, preacher, are you half-hearted? Are you lukewarm? Are you going through the motions? Because it's so easy at times to allow ourselves to slip into an attitude of comfortableness to the point that we're not living the way that we should. And that we're more concerned about being comfortable than we are about being convicted. I'll tell you the reason that a lot of local churches are dying is because a lot of us want to be comfortable and we no longer speak our convictions because we're fearful of what people will say about us. And what we need to do is see ourselves. I can only judge my heart. I can look out and look at others and see by their fruit how they're behaving. And we just need to ask ourselves, is this local church like Laodicea? Have we become lukewarm? Secondly, notice that we need to rebuke and chasten. Notice that's what Jesus said in verse 19. As many as I, look at that word, love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. I like that statement. The second thing the Lord said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. The only cure for sin of half-heartedness and lukewarmness is to rebuke with the Word and to chasten. Now, many times we look at the preacher and we say, now, preacher, you've been hard on us. What about you? I'll tell you, if ever there was a man that needed a spiritual spanking, I'm the man. And I recognize at times that if we're not careful, we need to have a rebuke from the Word of God and be chastened from the Word of God. And many times, elders have to chasten members and rebuke members out of love. Notice Jesus said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Why? He's concerned for their soul. And look at what He tells them to do. Be zealous and repent. Be on fire. Go back to where you needed to be. I'll tell you something, my friend. Jesus said, be zealous. Repent of half-heartedness and lukewarmness. But then notice something else. Look at where Jesus is in regard to the church at Laodicea. And all the other churches He addressed, the six others, He stands in the midst and lets them know He is there in the midst of them. However, notice what it says in verse 20 of Laodicea. He said, I stand at the door and knock. He's on the outside. And He said, if anyone hears My voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with Me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with Me on My throne as I also overcame and sat down with My Father on His throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Notice, my friend, He stands and knocks for them to let Him in. They have driven away the Lord. How have they driven Him away? By their lukewarmness. Now then, that brings up a serious thought in our study. You know what we need to do? Each individual needs to look at themselves and ask, have I just been going through the motions? Or am I on fire for the Lord? Am I willing to take a stand for the truth? And I want us to understand this should serve as a warning to all local churches today. And realize the sin that makes God sick is indifference, apathetic attitudes, indifferent, lukewarm, half-hearted. I appreciated the song Brother Houghton led a moment ago in Revive Us. Again, that's been our theme this year. We need to be revived. We need to be awakened. And we need to see the sin that makes God sick is the sin of half-heartedness. Sometimes I get disgusted with myself when I realize I just need to be on fire for the Lord. And you know, my friend, if we were on fire for the Lord, zealousness is contagious. One person can be on fire for the Lord, and it won't be long till others are on fire for the Lord. The question is, who's going to start the fire? Who's going to be the one who's going to stand up and be zealous? And is this congregation a reflection of Laodicea, or are we a reflection of a local church that is on fire for God? We need to look at the sin that makes God sick. And we need to look at ourselves and make sure that we're being pleasing to the God of heaven. If you're in this audience and you're not a child of God, our prayer is that you'll obey the gospel of Jesus Christ this morning and be on fire for Him. As together we stand and sing, we cordially invite.